Hello, and welcome to our next episode of Speak to It.
I'm Lee McLeod,
and this is a radio show run by peers living with mental illness and substance use in Niagara. This episode, we have lovingly titled, Gay! In the Willow Art Spaces, 49% of our current membership also identify as queer and trans, and that makes us pretty awesome. We have pulled together some of our best community leaders and Willow Arts talent to illuminate and amplify various topics that are important to the queer and trans community. We will hear from an up-and-coming minister who is working with queer youth, a lesbian living with developmental disabilities and her love story, and a local activist and community leader discussing queer and trans joy. I am proud to introduce my dear friend, colleague, and my queer peer, Allie Phillips from the Queer Kids Bible Camp.
Hi, we're here with Allie Phillips from Queer Kids Bible Camp, here to talk about the program and give us more insider information.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, first off, I wanted to know, just what exactly is Queer Kid Bible Camp? Can you tell us a bit about your program and its aim?
Yeah, so Queer Kid Bible Camp is a program of many capacities. Primarily right now, we are doing twice a month events centered around queer joy and celebration and art, exploring outside and being in community with one another. Open to youth in between grades 6 and 12, soon to be adding space for younger adults. And we are endeavoring to open a gender-affirming closet soon for gender-affirming shapewear, clothing, hygiene products, all those wonderful good things.
The name Queer Kid Bible Camp, how did you arrive at that?
So Queer Kid Bible Camp for a long time was the working title of what we were hoping to do. The idea of Queer Kid Bible Camp came around from, it had been kind of a little brain baby for a while. We thought, oh, we're very hopeful to want to do this, but how and when and what do the details look like and the tangible needs of endeavoring to do something new like this. But the real push was last fall, we had a youth come to us from another youth group who said, hey, my youth pastor said, you know, that I'm going to hell and that all these bad things are going to happen to me because I'm a queer kid. And that was deeply devastating. And I said, you know, there needs to be a space here for queer joy and for celebration. And so Queer Kid Bible Camp became a little bit of an FU to people who say that queer and Bible can't be in the same statement, that there aren't spaces for us to be authentically ourselves as our creator made us to be, intentionally, with great love and forethought.
Well, that's a great segue into our next question, which is, you know, the church as an institution has historically not been a welcoming place for queer folks. So what do you do to help our queer youth feel safe to explore the intersection of their faith and their identities?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking it. Silver Spire United Church is where Queer Kid Bible Camp is housed. Within the larger United Church of Canada, there is a branch called Affirm. And Affirm United does training that congregations have to endeavor to do that culminates in a congregational vote. And the basis of Affirm is public, intentional, explicit. So public, intentional, explicit celebration and uplifting of queer people into our congregations and into leadership within the church. And Silver Spire did that in 2019. We went through that process 2019 and had 100% congregational vote that we wanted to become an affirming congregation. And that work continues in the work that Affirm does, with things like Drag Queen Story Hour, with pronoun workshops, with other different workshops, with offering our spaces to different queer organizations, to our queer youth, and saying, hey, you know, we didn't have a space. So the congregation said, you know, we don't have any kids or babies right now. Let's make over the nursery into the youth room. And there's a physical space for you. Oh, you need a little bit of money to get this going? We're going to have a pie auction and you're going to raise $1,000 in like 26 minutes. Publicly, intentionally, and explicitly support queer kids and queer people in our building and in our communities.
I love that you forcibly carved out space within Silver Spire. That's wonderful. So I wanted to know, what are your plans for the program and where do you find inspiration to build it?
Thank you for asking. So our next immediate plans involve having our gender-affirming closet be open. We're endeavoring on a new partnership with Out Niagara, which is very exciting. We also are hoping to run honest-to-goodness sleepaway camp at Cave Springs Camp in Beamsville, which is also a United Church camp, in July. The details of that are still being sorted out, but that was one of the earliest ambition of Queer Kid Bible Camp, was to have camp for queer kids and just to immerse ourselves in queer culture and intergenerational connection and joy and just give space for us to be ourselves unapologetically.
Do you have to be part of the congregation to join Queer Kids Bible Camp?
You do not. You do not even need to be, you know, identifying as a religious person, as a Christian person. We all come to community in different ways. My avenue for pursuing this connection and for facilitating this community and these spaces is through my religion, is through my faith, is through this ministry of the United Church of Canada, you know, in a smaller, more regional way here in St. Catharines at Silver Spire. But, you know, that is not everyone's story and it doesn't need to be.
So what are your biggest obstacles at this point?
I think our biggest obstacles, I think personally for me as an organizer, I tend to be an idea guy. And, you know, sometimes the ideas need a bit more follow through than I can always give. So one of our obstacles is, you know, telling the right people who put the right things into action so the ball gets rolling. It's very easy to have, you know, grand ideas of how things are going to go. Like every other organization doing new things, you know, money is always there. We are very well supported, but it's the unsureness of where's the next $1,000 going to come from. Grant writing and things like that, that's a growing edge for me as an organizer. So really, we're learning by doing here.
That's another great segue. Where do you personally go for support?
I'm deeply fortunate. I have a wonderful support system in my family and my friends and my queer family, my cishet friends. I feel deeply fortunate for that. I also think my faith really calls me to be in community and to facilitate that and to weather the difficulties with that and to really celebrate the joys of that. You know, life is not always one thing or the other thing. It contains multitudes. And one of the gifts of being queer and of being trans is the depths of yourself you have to find when you go through an identity crisis at an early age allows you to know those multitudes within yourself, but then to be able to hold those in truths that exist outside of yourself, realities that exist outside of yourself. And so I think that those, the inner strength and then the outer strength of the support from the people around me.
Do you feel brave, or what makes you brave?
Oh my gosh, I do not often feel brave. I think that's a tricky thing. I think, especially right now, as we look to our American neighbors and we look to, you know, things that are happening also in different parts of Canada and some of it, you know, even here in Niagara, being a demographically diverse place, you know, you see a lot of external hate for queer people, for trans people, for visibly gender nonconforming people, for drag queens reading books to kids, for existing in public. I think that that can sometimes kind of make it difficult to be brave. But then I see these youth and I see Gen Z being unapologetically themselves and putting up a big middle finger to anyone who doesn't want anything to do with it. And that instills a lot of bravery because they are there and they're living their lives and their truths. And when we're in space together and we're in community together, the power that they have in sharing their lives and getting to live their lives openly. We've got youth who are talking about heartbreak and crushes and going to dances and learning these things about themselves. You know, when I was 15, I wasn't doing that. I didn't know who I was as a person at 15. You know, I felt disembodied and freaked out about being a human being. You know, I couldn't have even imagined that. And these kids are just, they're living their lives into their truths. And it's just so badass. And how can I not feel brave with role models like that? But the other side of that, too, is externally, there's a lot of pressure to doubt yourself as a trans person, as a queer person. But I look to those kids and I think we can do this. We come from a long line of deeply strong queer and trans people in communities. And, you know, these kids are continuing it. And so are we. And how can we fail?
For anyone who wants to join, how do they go about that?
So you can find us at Queer Kid Bible Camp on Instagram, Queer Kid Bible Camp on Facebook. You can also phone up Silver Spire United Church, speak with them about our programs, and they can give you some more info as well.
Thank you, Allie, so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Tammy B needs no introduction in our spaces, but I am so proud to shout her name into the radio waves. Tammy is an accomplished singer and songwriter and a dear friend to us all. This is Everything's Gonna Be Okay by Tammy B.
When I hear you calling, while my heart starts connecting, I couldn't see it except to feel the spirit. Warm heat from the sun has given me shine bright and till the cool wind came, and I never felt the same. It's gonna be okay by keeping my head high. It's gonna be okay, like flying high in sky. All I really need is to set me free, because I know it's gonna be okay. Yeah, it's gonna be okay. When I see a dark space. I feel like it's a unsafe place. Minor twist, dead ends. Whole pain is a gun, and I'm defending myself from strife, sacrificing my life. All the scars through my skin, and I feel so much like sins could be okay. Keeping my head high, it's gonna be okay. Like flying high in sky. All I really need is to set me free, because I know it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. Let's go! Your arms around me like the one who I was meant to be. Now I'm feeling so very free, just for you, man. It's gonna be okay by keeping my head high. It's gonna be okay, like flying high in sky. All I really need is to set me free, because I know it's gonna be okay. Okay.
Tammy, thanks for coming.
Thank you for this interview. I love it.
So Tammy, when did you come out as a lesbian?
I think I was like way before I came out. I was starting feeling like something I wasn't like interested when I was 16. I used to date men back then. I was like mostly in high school, feeling a lot different. Mm. And no coming out in that high school, no program about the LGBTQ back then. Because it was like early 2010, mm-hmm. before I graduated that year in high school. And it took me until like, I think it was 2 months before I turned 20 years old is when I decided to came out to like 5 people that are close. And then around months later, I decided to came out on social media a little bit, but not fully to not the whole world, but you know, that was like, I was like close to 20 years old. And that would be like in April. So this coming April, this year would be pretty much 11 years.
Wow. So congratulations.
Thanks.
It's a big deal coming out in Niagara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tammy, where do you go for support when you need it?
I like that question because way before I'm currently at right now, I used to go to the very first program when I was in college. It's called Gay Straight Alliance Club. This is like 2013. And it was a very small program back then, but I had made new friends there. And as years went by, I went to like Pride Niagara festivals and go to clubs at night until it was like February 2020 before COVID. So I decided to give up going late night ever since, you know, with COVID. And then when all the mandates went like on the break, I went back to like trying to meet LGBTQs again.
So Tammy, tell us about your girlfriend.
I met her at Showtime at St. Paul Street in St. Catharines. I was hired to perform at the time and I was doing guitar and singing, and she was the acting and comedy sketch. And we met, we were like performer industries business. About 3 months later, Jessica met my girlfriend named Crystal Nosbaum. She's a famous actress from the movie Memory Keeper's Daughter when she was 19 years old. And she's been in like any other like movies and TVs like Blood Honey, which is my favorite. And there's also, she's in this Netflix show called Between. We met and we were like, wait, do we just met at Showtime in my city? And she's like, yeah, you're the girl with the guitar. Yeah. And that's how we became casual friends and haven't really talked a lot, except she will reach out to me a couple times, like once per few months, and then COVID hits. Haven't really talked much. And then that's how we try to reach out in 2021. And in June, that's how she actually confessed to me. She's the first one to confess, not me. I was like taking easy about too much partying, too much trying to like meet women, but it was just like here in St. Catharines I had issues trying to like find someone here. Yeah. In my city. Yeah. But it was not like the right time.
Yeah.
and right crowd and the right, and that's how I was starting to have a private day with her. social distance and private for 2 months and until pretty much August 15th of 2021 is when I asked her to be officially my girlfriend. Been a lot of great stuff. I go to Toronto to meet up with her at her place or go to like nice town. And also we were doing this video about as a couple, but also for Down syndrome awareness called Love Means. It's on YouTube. It's now like over 3,000 views.
Wow.
For Canadian Down syndrome. Yeah, and the reason why is that is because my girlfriend has Down syndrome. She also has thyroid issues. She's more like flexibility, motivation, all about hard work. And she's very more motivation, and I'm more like 50-50 and very local, very, you know, like very mellow kind of girl I am. So, but she's like more of the top experiencing.
What sounds like you guys are a good match.
And yeah, because we're both Geminis, so 10 days apart.
Well, that's lovely. So what are you working on right now, and what's next for you, Tammy?
Well, I used to release my very first album called Music and Me. Go check out SoundCloud, YouTube. And also, I still have like at least 20 CDs left at home. So if anybody wants to like buy it for $10, that's great. I would love to. And I do really wish to make another album. But as of today, I'm just like too busy of like helping other people, helping out any performing gigs going on, even if there's open mics, people who need help writing or backup music or anything. And I'm also been busking. I make tips, which is kind of like the job I have. I don't have part-time, except I'm on ODSP because myself as autism CAPS PDD, I'm very like, there's some jobs that I'd rather be like my own business job than just, because I'm, even though I want to do part-time job one day for like 2 days per week, but I'm currently like focusing on music. I'm making tips from buskering downtown since pretty much this coming July will be 11 years since I've been buskering.
You're one of the hardest working musicians I know, Tammy.
Thank you. Anybody who needs help of any open mics or any, I would love anybody who needs help. They can reach out to me. Go to Tammy B like page on my Facebook or my Instagram. And if you want to listen to my music, my originals, which is my first album, go to Tammy B on SoundCloud and YouTube. And also you can watch my first music video called Trust Your Struggles. And it's about a dedication song for people who have mental health issues and some who fortunately lost their battle due to suicide or overdose. And pretty much now that video is over 1,000 views. So anyone, check it out and keep me in touch if you guys need help too.
Hey. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Tammy. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
And thank you for speaking to it.
Thank you so much. Tammy B in the house.
Everyone deserves to feel well. The Canadian Mental Health Association of Niagara offers a variety of programs and services that assist individuals 16 and older with reaching their short and long-term mental health goals. CMHA is located at 264 Welland Avenue in St. Catharines. To book an appointment, call 905-641-5222 Monday to Friday between 8:30 and 5:30, or for more information, visit their website at niagara.cmha.ca.
You are listening to CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines.
In the final segment of our episode, Gay! I sit down with a cup of Earl Grey with Carrie Duncan. Carrie is my dear friend, fierce co-conspirator, and a local activist working toward our collective liberation. Carrie, you picked the title Queer and Trans Joy for this segment. Why did you pick that title? What does that mean in Niagara?
So I picked the title because, and I think any queer, trans, or 2S and LGBTQI person can attest, it feels different. But I had the great privilege to be in New York in June, and I just saw so many joyful queer people and trans folks just living their life, and it just felt different. It was like an exhale. And I think queer and trans folks and lots of different communities within that don't get to exhale often. We often have to be on alert, or we have to be a filtered version of ourselves, and to be able to coexist in joy of each other. And I think it shows up in Niagara in that like people are quick to paint it with one rainbow brush. And that's not what this community is. When people talk about Niagara being 12 municipalities, they like forget, I think often, that within each municipality, there's a different community of people. And within those communities, there's even more communities. And I've lived in Niagara since 2014, and I've just seen it grow. And like, I've seen artistic expression, and it just feels better.
How have we seen an abundance of queer and trans joy in the community?
Yeah, Niagara is so interesting because when I moved here, I thought it was just drag shows and veganism, truthfully. And that fits some, many in fact. And I think it's a barrier for others. So people can go and have so much fun in those spaces and like find like community. But what happens if you are a person who doesn't want to be in a club, who doesn't want to go to a party, who comes from a different and more complex background that doesn't fit this narrative? And I just hadn't met the right people. There were poetry slams. There was the Senior Pride Network. There were all of these people I felt like I was just waiting to meet. And then I, over the last decade, have slowly met them. And I was able to do a presentation recently where I got to speak to both folks who had words like LGBTQ and Pride in their name. So Brock Pride's a strong example. That's a community that's existed for so many generations at the university, and they do such important work connected to the Student Justice Center and the Senior Pride Network, which brings in such an important demographic that we don't talk about enough. And then we've seen new groups like Queer Kid Bible Camp and Transcending Binaries and all these groups that use trans and queer language in their titles. And we have all these other groups that are filled with queer and trans people that don't use it in their mandate or use it in their title. So Willow Arts is a great example in terms of population and also just voices and programming. I work for OPERG, who it's all made up of queer. Like, we have a joke that comes from a past board member that's OPERG is putting the gay in orgainization. And so we have the great privilege of working alongside other organizations who people don't automatically associate, but we look at like positive living and the history of HIV/AIDS and advocacy for that. Niagara is starting to feel a bit better, and not necessarily because of flags or crosswalks. That has helped some folks. I'm not, like, I think about the kids in the Catholic schools who are really helped by that, but it's also created new targets on our backs and made it so rainbow capitalism has excluded us from the conversation. Access to information became such a clear example of what we needed to change. And the more we were like, oh, people need to know what exists, the more we found that exists. We were able to work with consultants to find an 85-page database of healthcare providers who would be willing to talk about trans healthcare. People didn't know that existed, not even the people who provide the services. We're able to work with groups like the Niagara Trans Action Coalition to not only provide important healthcare and really mutual aid that our governments are not providing us or healthcare providers aren't providing us, but also provide spaces like Trans Day of Visibility, where we had over 150 people come from like small children to seniors and older adults to be part of a march about trans visibility. Like, that matters. It changes what representation is from a corporate sticker and people claiming they support to like feeling that queer and trans joy.
Carrie, where do you go for support?
What an interesting question, because I really struggle with other people's most common forms of self-care. When it comes to support, I rely heavily on chosen family, and I have for a long time. I'm a full-time caregiver to my brother, and I have a close relationship with my parents and my sister and my brother. And so then I happen to have 10 best friends, which is weird compared to most 30 plus year olds. So I have a chosen family here who are part of my brother's family. I think also knowing the support comes for me, like in terms of like artistic practice, is like mind mapping. Like, my brain gets really full really fast. So like getting that out. And then I have benefited from things like being a patient at Quest Community Health Center, which not everyone has access to. I also drink a lot of coffee. as my form of support. And I think take time to think about, like, why am I doing the work that I'm doing? Because I think we often get told to help and make change because it's the right thing to do. And that's not wrong, but it's like, I do what I do to keep my people alive. My people are disabled. They are immigrants. They are mentally ill. They are racialized, have a gajillion diagnoses, and including myself. And the only way to support that is to have my work integrated with my life. But having care be part of my activism, having caregiving not as something separate, as our like reason for existing. And like, that's a lot of pressure. And so then you have to also think about the ways that that like drains you and what can help feed in.
Carrie, tell me about zines and their role in sharing queer and trans voices.
So I love zines. And so for folks who don't know, I have a not very active bookshop called Dusk and Dawn Books, and I sometimes make zines, and I more often curate zines. And I had the great privilege of curating a Willow Art zine, as well as one for OPERG, and I love making mini zines and teaching people. And really what it is a self-published magazine. Like, it's the ability to self-publish and share your experience is so important to queer and trans history. When we look at the history of HIV/AIDS and how people were communicating out what was happening, these are people who were seen as like diseased and like not touchable in the 80s. People use zines, self-published, to like get that out there. And so I think now zines are becoming a little bit more trendy because that movie Moxie was like, hello, young women like zines. But we look at history of punk music, history of, as I said, HIV/AIDS, and that's filled with queers and filled with trans folks and filled with Black folks and Indigenous folks who were self-publishing. And so some folks will argue that zines have to follow a specific format. I don't agree with those people, which is fine. To me, people make zines every day. You put together a mini photo album with little phrases, zine, you know, like it's about self-publishing thoughts and expression. And you can design on a computer, you could collage it, you can have one word per page. But yeah, zines live close to books for lots of folks. They often will live beside your bookshelf. And similar in bookstores, like go to an anarchist bookstore, go to a queer lesbian owned bookstore, and you will find zines. It like deprioritizes the elite of publishing, which I think is important.
My last question for you today is, how are you brave?
What an interesting question. So I have like what sounds like a superficial answer, but I don't think it is. Clothes. So I have an odd clothing journey where in high school I only wore 3XL sweatpants and a giant bun on top of my head. But I've always only worn sandals, and I'm from a very cold place, so I tried to do that as much as possible. And I cared a lot about giving no shits. And that was true, but I also stopped caring what I thought. And I was very busy. You know, I was like in school and working and played hockey and all this stuff, but I didn't have a good relationship with clothes. Because like, I used to go into clothing stores and hyperventilate. The gender didn't fit me. You know, like it did not suit me to be in the girls section. It also didn't suit me to be in the boys section. And so it just never clicked. And then I was like, okay, what would do that? And I came up with three guidelines for myself, which are look gay, wear black, and look like I could kick someone. Not because I will, but so it looks like I could. And I've always said my gender is assertive. Like, I've been assertive my whole life, but I needed clothes to catch up so then I could be brave. Because I was brave for the sake of being tough. I was brave for survival purposes. Like, confidence is so sexy. It's like the leveled up version of bravery. And like, bravery is awesome. It's so important. We learn so many skills, but it keeps us in crisis mode sometimes. And confidence like lets us exhale. It lets us be who we need to be for ourselves, because we need to care about what we think about ourselves. We have to like ourselves to be able to do this work.
Thank you so much, Carrie Duncan, for being in our studio today and speaking to the things that matter to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode. We are so grateful for the honesty and vulnerability of our guests. A big thanks goes to Allie Phillips, Tammy B., and Carrie Duncan. Our communities are safer and better for your work. Special thanks go out to the folks who helped make this episode possible: Allison Carroll, Lee McLeod, Trisha Franklin, Daya Lai, James Webb, and Queens One. Thanks for listening. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.